So Rizzo, I have a question for you.
Ooh, you have a question for me.
If today was your last day and tomorrow was too late, what is the rest of that lyric?
What
would
is the line?
Say goodbye to yesterday or
something
like
that?
What
are you quoting at me?
I think it's Nickelback?
Why?
Or Creed, maybe?
Why are you quoting these things at me? Those were not in the movie.
Well, if you only had one day to live, which is what he keeps asking in this movie that we're reviewing today.
Correct.
What would you do if it was you only had one day?
I have a separate question.
What's that?
If you had the chance to change your fate, would ya? I'm sure we will talk about it. I don't know what I would do different.
Differently?
Differently?
Yeah.
Different. I don't know what I would do outside of the normal. And I think that's something that what this film kind of touches up on, you know, so
maybe we can after we talk about it a little bit.
Let me get back to you on that. But I will have an answer.
I don't know exactly what I would do, but no, there's nobody I want to kill right now.
Right now. Give it a few looping years.
Some things will build and I'll be like, these are the culprits.
Wow. Well, with that, welcome back, pop stars. I'm Rizzo.
I'm Benji.
And today, February 2nd, is Groundhog Day.
Woo!
And today, February 2nd, is Groundhog Day.
Woo! Do one more.
And today, February 2nd, is Groundhog Day.
Woo! Okay.
Solid
joke. That was...
Sometimes the simplest jokes are the funniest. Right. So yeah, I suggested this. This is why we like doing the podcast, because we can kind of like watch and review and talk about films that might not necessarily show up on
the reaction side of this channel.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's more of a niche thing that less people would be interested in.
I would say though, and the film that we're talking about today is Groundhog Day.
Oh my God. So
the 1993 American comedy film that was directed by Harold Ramis and starred Bill Murray, Chris Elliott. Oh, I can't believe I put Chris Elliott above. I'm blanking on
Allie McDowell.
Andy McDowell.
I don't know.
You almost made me say Allie McBeal.
Did you ever watch that?
Distracted, Benji.
Anyways.
And no, I did not.
Me either.
But yeah, it starred Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, Sam Elliott, and a whole host of other 90s comedy legends.
Yes.
Small, like, bit part legends. And it's actually, it was a hit when it first came out, but it also has, like, grown as not only as a cult classic, but also as kind of like a spiritual classic, too, for a lot of people. It's been embraced by Judaism, Buddhism, Christians. It's very much kind of like an introspective film. So I thought with that, what a perfect film to see what Benji thinks about. Benji, what'd you think about Groundhog Day starring the Bill Murray? Starring that guy from Zombieland.
Starring that guy from What About Bob?
Starring that guy from What About Bob?
Yes, that is where I know him from. But it was cool. Like it was good.
What is that voice?
I've only seen it twice now because we just watched it. I was introduced to it by my roommate a few years ago. It's very like it kind of. I don't know. It obviously is something
not
that
your
makes
exact
you really,
genre.
It's
is
not
it?
My genre, but it's something that really makes you think.
Yeah.
About what would I do? Because at first, the thought of it is like kind of that would be cool to kind of have no consequences and be able to do whatever.
Right.
But then as you kind of get through it and you're like, oh, but I can't get out. Then it gets kind of hopeless. And then I said, towards the end or the middle end, but while it was still hopeless, I was kind of like, that would really suck because you can't just sit at home and watch everything on Netflix.
No.
Like, you just...
Not in 1993.
There's no entertainment in 93.
Except for, apparently, an endless supply of Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
No, thank you. So this is a film that I was familiar with. I told you this. It was so strange because when I first saw this film, it was on TV, and I wandered in on it. Right as he was starting to kill himself. So like the first image I ever saw was him stepping in front of a car and I was like, whoa. And then the next scene he's alive and my tiny little brain, I don't even remember how old I was just like, wait, what's going on? And the first time I was really processing the movie is when he's talking to Rita and just basically pointing out like a god. what everyone's going through. And I had no clue. That was my first introduction to this film, which I think in a weird way was like the perfect introduction for me. Because I
went like a little teaser.
Yeah. In a few minutes, I was like, okay, so this is a comedy, but it's also dark and it's also dealing with some kind of, I don't even think I really fully processed it, but I remember this feeling even as a kid watching it, just like, I feel like it's talking about deep things. I don't know what they are, but it feels deep, right?
Like I'm 10, but something else is going on here.
It definitely was a film. I'm not even sure if I've watched it all the way through prior to tonight.
What?
I really can't. I'm sure I have, but it's one of those where it's like, I can't like pinpoint, oh yes, that's when I sat down from beginning to end and watched this film.
So you what? You like walked in on it, saw like...
Yeah, on TV, and middle, I watched the rest of it, maybe. Saw, like,
the middle to the end.
Middle to the end, yeah.
And then you maybe later went and watched the beginning and
yeah,
didn't
and
finish
I've,
it also.
And because, like I said, it's very well regarded, not only as a... Not only with like audiences, but also with like film, you
critics
know, critics.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen and heard about it. Kind of the same way like The Godfather. It's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of us feel like we've seen The Godfather because it's talked about so much, even if you've never seen it.
But I know that I have seen it.
You've seen The Godfather?
Yes.
That's surprising.
My father was
showed
like, you have to.
Okay.
There was a handful of movies that he was like, you have to see this. That was one of them.
The 25th anniversary, 50th. There's an anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary is coming up.
Nice.
Maybe we can talk about that.
Maybe.
I am Italian.
Oh, interesting.
And I have eaten a cannoli.
Well, there you go. He's basically the Godfather pop star.
Basically that. It was one of those films that's like, yeah, I know so much about it inside and out, but like, I don't know genuinely how much of this film, or I don't remember actually sitting down and watching it beginning to end.
I feel that. I am the same way with Zoolander because when I had a family that I would carpool with to and from school, and
right.
they always had that movie playing in the car. And so I've seen that, I've seen pieces of that movie in random sequence over and over again for like years.
Right.
But like, I'm pretty sure I've never sat down and watched the entire movie.
That would be amazing reaction, by the way. Tell us pop stars if you want us to watch Zoolander. I would say, first off, do you even know what Groundhog Day is?
Yeah. So Groundhog Day is when Punxsutawney Phil, the ground...
Yeah, Punxsutawney.
Punxsutawney, or whatever, however you pronounce it. He comes out of his little hole.
Right.
And if he sees his shadow, he gets scared and goes back in. And that means that there's 6 more weeks of winter. And if he stays out, then that means summer's going to start.
Why?
So, or spring, whichever one's next. I don't know. I guess it's a Southern tradition because I am parroting what my mom always told me.
Oh, wow.
And she, I mean, not that she obviously believed in it, but she would always be like, oh, Punxsutawney Phil, Groundhog's Day. And I was like, sure, mom.
I feel like this is something that was very foreign to me. Like I didn't grow up. I don't know if it was because I grew up in California and then eventually moved to the South. But for me, I was like, what?
Well, I'm pretty sure I only heard about it from my mom. I don't think anybody else really mentioned Groundhog's Day.
No one's getting like really like, oh,
well, like the people in this show where they're like movie where they're like, oh, like, are you going to see the groundhog? And it's like,
what do you guys have to, is there no Netflix?
Clearly there is not. There's not internet. There's nothing else to do but watch this groundhog.
Is there nothing? So I think what's first off the, before we get into it, we're not going to go beat by beat because going beat by beat on this would literally just be repeating the same thing over and over again.
God.
Before we start, I guess I did have a question. I can't remember it now.
Oh, you didn't write it down?
I was like writing a lot of stuff down. Did this? So you asked me, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
What? Who?
how
long would it take you to become a different person, I guess, would the question be?
That's a great question. Probably 2 days.
2 days to become...
Because really, this is all just a front.
Uh-huh.
I'm just waiting to like lose it on somebody, you know? So as soon as I see there's no consequences, I'm like, oh, I'm going to burn this city down, bruh.
So I've watched multiple shows that kind of take this premise. Obviously, we've watched Happy Death Day. I believe you saw that. Edge of Tomorrow, which was the Tom Cruise one where he's fighting aliens and it's going over and over again.
I saw that one.
I didn't.
There's the Andy Samberg one.
Oh, yeah. Palm Springs, which I actually really liked.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's... Oh, no. It's the TV show that I really liked was Russian Doll.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Netflix.
And then there's a new one coming out, or is out. I don't really know much about it, but I know it's a repeating day thing. But it's two people that ran into each other, and they're both reliving
the same day.
Oh, that
one looks terrible.
But yeah, genuinely, for me to take on a new personality would probably take a hot minute. Like,
well, even deeper too, because it's like, I thought this when I watched Russian Doll, which you never saw it. I won't spoil it, but it takes the concept of repeating days and goes a little bit darker with it. How long would it take you to really start doing horrible things? Not horrible in terms of like, not the big three. We're not talking about, you know, rape, murder. What was the other third one?
Torture.
Yeah. We're not talking about those three, but like, you know, like, awful stuff like stealing and maybe like beating up a bunch of people or setting things on fire.
Maybe not beating up, but like probably like a couple of days. Like I think I would take like a few days off, you know. Like obviously I wouldn't go into work whether I had work or not that day.
I would
hope that I would get it would be on an off day.
Okay.
But like I would, I mean, like, I don't know. I think I would immediately, as soon as I realize that there are genuinely no consequences,
yeah,
and I try to kind of get out of the loop a few times and realize, like, oh, like, I'm kind of stuck here, then you kind of just start having fun. Like, steal a cop car,
okay,
like, kind of get into some trouble, see if you can rob a bank, like, maybe.
So this might be my anxiety talking,
but
would you not?
I agree.
Would you not be terrified that the universe would have a cruel sense of humor?
That as soon as you did something kind of crazy
and irreversible, mm-hmm, that it wouldn't just go, guess who's waking up the next day? Like,
I think it would take a minute, I guess, to do something like crazy. Like, I'm trying to think of something where it's like, if the next day was that day, that you'd be like, oh, I can't believe this is it.
Right.
Like, it would take a while for you to just be like, it's been so long, I don't even care.
That's true.
Like, I'm going to punch a cop in the face, and if today is the day that I wake up in jail again, at least it's another day. Like, that would take maybe like a year or two. I don't know. I don't really...
For those who have never seen this film, why? And then secondly, I'll...
I mean, I hadn't seen it until like 2 years ago.
All right. Why? Really briefly, Bill Murray plays basically just the worst person ever. I wrote down aggressively unpleasant man, and mm-hmm, I stand by that. So he plays an aggressively unpleasant man, Phil Connors, who basically he's forced to go into the small town and report on the weather that's being dictated by a groundhog.
Mm-hmm.
Which already it's like it's the opposite of anything he wants to do. He hates small town. He hates being personable. He dislikes anything that has any type of like twee little charm.
Uh-huh.
And very much wants to move on to bigger and better things. But he's forced to go into the small town and do for, I believe, the third year, he said, or fourth year. For the fourth year, report on Groundhog Day and get the hell out of there as fast as he can. Only to find out, you know, he's snowed in, so he's got to stay for the night, but you know, it's not gonna be as bad as what's gonna end up happening
actually happens, which is he wakes up and relives the same day for God knows how many days.
I think they've
we can debate that, but
10,000. I've seen the original script, which was written by Danny Rubin. It was presented originally like as a independent feature and then got bought out by Columbia, and it was rewritten multiple times by Harold Ramis, who had done like Vacation.
Oh,
he'd done Stripes. He'd, I believe, written on Ghostbusters. So, mm-hmm, it's very much a different sensibility from the original script, which was very much like it started halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have even realized that the day was repeating until kind of like, I think, the first time he killed himself. And then it would have restarted and you would have been watching this character go through this. And it was more of a character study on like,
that would be really interesting.
Yeah. And it went that was the original like penned draft. And then once it got bought out and the writer has since come out and said that he's happy that it became what it did become.
Uh-huh.
Because he was like, Harold brought this kind of warmth to the script,
mm-hmm,
that wasn't originally there. You know, Ruben being a little bit more dark and kind of like
more like a cold, like case study.
Yeah. And then, of course, as Harold rewrote it with having a comedy background, And then, of course, understanding and knowing, oh, this is going to be for Bill Murray. And
I was about to say.
Play to his sensibilities. You got what you end up getting is I do think it's a very dark film in some aspects. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a good palatable film about change. And
yeah.
How long it can take for a person. But why did we bring this up so early? Why do I feel so like lost?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a good movie about change. I wouldn't personally say that it's dark. I think that obviously it has its moments that if you really like consider what he's going through, it's right. Like, oh yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, that's why I brought it up, because I think the original draft was like 10,000 years or something.
Yeah.
And it like in that original draft, that was the canon. In this one, not only is it kind of like,
it's,
you can calculate it based on how long it takes to someone learn to learn piano
and French.
French. And then obviously like the multiple times he goes on dates, the multiple times he mentions killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
You can surmise that it was definitely at least over 10 years
yeah.
that he was in there, which just on a
human level.
Why am I blanking out? Pop stars, I'm so sorry.
I mean, what I'll say is on a human level, it's like compared to 10,000 years, 10 years, yes, I will take that sentence
right.
every time. But 10 years, like if you can imagine yourself 10 years ago, like the strides you've made, the progress like made, the things you've gone through, like who you were then, who you are now, like how far away that seems, living an actual life mm-hmm. where things are just kind of coming at you.
Yeah.
To be stuck for that amount of time in the same day, in the same town, would be like absolutely mind-numbing and maddening.
Well, that was a question I even had. So obviously the mind, the body, everything is regenerating itself. It's healing. Mm-hmm. I will side note say I do like the fact that the writer and Ramis both were very adamant. We do not want an explanation for what's going on. And mm-hmm. I think that kind of leads it to be a little bit more philosophical in mm-hmm. nature, where it's less about like the mechanics of like, well, why am I stuck here? What's going on? And we have to do this to save Christmas. Yeah. You know, it's very much more like, it doesn't matter why. The point is you're here now. What are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So you can focus more on the philosophic like questions that are raised. However, that being said, like on a purely mechanical like level, can you physically go crazy? Because he's maintaining all the memories, but how much can a brain
hold,
like actually hold
yeah.
before you just start to go insane?
Well, 10,000 years, I say, would probably be the cap.
Yeah. And then even worse,
10 years, technically you could hold all that.
So you asked when it ends, mm-hmm. you know, skipping ahead, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? But yeah,
there's nothing wrong with
you. He does get out of the loop at the end, to which you were asking.
I was like, after that, after the amount of time he spends in that loop where there is no consequences, there are no deaths, there's like nothing. There's just only the same day, the same place, the same people.
Same consequences.
To immediately be like, just all of a sudden you wake up and you're out of that.
Yeah.
It's like you're like, oh, there's something new. But I immediately almost felt this fear for him.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like I would feel that, where it's like you got so used to this routine of like, this is how everything works and this is how it's always going to be.
Right.
And then to have this disturbance of like, oh, now I have to think about my future.
Yeah.
Now I have to worry about death. I can't just walk out of the street and get hit by a car and wake up in my bed. Like, I actually have to watch out for all of these things. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, it's...
Yeah. Well, and even you get a call from someone who's like, hey, we had dinner plans that we set like 3 weeks ago. And you're like 3 weeks ago? That was 10,000 years and 3 weeks ago for me, buddy. Who are you?
After 10,000 years, I wouldn't even know who I was.
No, like, you would come out like a freaking mush.
I would say that, yeah, it was probably in this one, I would say 10 years. Just depending on how, like...
I mean, the good thing is that he didn't seem to have many friends prior to going in.
So he's not going to miss any plans.
Plans are being missed.
He's not going to forget anything.
But I've always thought that about any of these plots that take place in kind of like a never-ending loop. It's just like, bro, I forget shit that happened like 20 minutes ago, let alone, you know, 10 years ago, but it was supposed to have only happened, you know, yesterday,
yeah,
you would be a completely different person. Like,
he is a completely different person. I mean, but that's kind of the point of the movie.
It is definitely the point.
But he's a better person, so it's like he'll better be able to be like, hey, I didn't remember, and I apologize. Let me buy you a drink. You know, he'd handle it better.
With the money he stole from
from Eden.
So in the movie, I'll briefly run through it. Obviously, he gets stuck in a time loop. Time warp again. Does not know why. Doesn't matter. I like, and I wrote this down. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he went through the five stages of grief. Because basically, we had the denial phase.
Yeah.
Then we had the anger phase. I guess the bargaining is a little bit like
there's not really much to
not
bargain.
Not really much bargaining, but I guess more like, ooh, what can I
what
benefit?
Can I get out of this? I was about to say the kind of the part where he starts like dating women and figuring out how to get them to sleep with him in one day, which I'm like, I mean, honestly, that would probably be one of my first moves is to just start being all like, all right, I guess I'm asking everyone out.
Yeah.
Eventually I'll get through the entire city.
So by the way, nothing wrong with striking out multiple times and like figuring out, I guess, what works, but it starts to get in kind of murky territory, like really gross murky territory. Yeah, like I will actually judge this territory.
Fully curating his personality.
Yeah, that's
to, like,
gross.
Completely tailor like everything, like when she says something about herself to be like, okay, and then come back the next day and say that and just get a little bit further each day and start over and a little bit further. Now I have this new information. Start over. I have this information. Now tonight, almost like a video game.
Yeah, except how's he starting over? He's just gotta like, does he just shut down and stop talking to her?
Well, I would assume he probably tries to get as far as he can until they're just like, nah, this isn't going to work. And then he remembers what happened, what worked, and then goes from there and be like, okay, now I'm going to say this time. It's going to get me a little further.
Oh, my God. No, that's and I love how like it's a simple editing cut. But like for me, I'm like, oh, my God, he had to wake up again. And he had to get in those. He had to regenerate those circumstances.
Well, I thought the same thing when I was first off, when he first just kept going to work at the beginning, like even like the what was it, the third day he was in the loop and he like got up, like showered, got ready, got dressed and went to work. And I was like, girl, on the second day of the loop, I'd be like, y'all can go fuck yourself.
Well, like, I mean, that's pretty much what happened during quarantine.
Well, that's what I also said was I was like, this movie is basically quarantine. It's when you're stuck in your house and you can't do anything else. What do you do to improve yourself? Basically, like, come out of this with something better.
Yeah, try out Skillshare, which is not today's sponsor. Excuse me, not today's sponsor, but you know, that would have been a nice one.
It would have been, but you know, well, at some point we'll get them.
So we're in the bargaining phase, benefiting phase. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say, where do you think the line is drawn between trying multiple times and figuring out what works versus like what did you say, curating yourself?
But I mean, it didn't work at the end of the day, so
no, thankfully.
Yeah,
Rita, so his this new producer who's just like, you know, just the happy-go-lucky person who's really excited about all the possibilities, just really genuinely a good person, which I do appreciate. Like, it's so aggressively genuine that she can essentially suss out, like, okay, this is, there's something disingenuous about this person.
Yeah, because there was points with, like, with the first girl he ends up sleeping with where he, like, tells her he loves her, and he's like, oh, I want to marry you. And she's like, oh, my goodness. And I'm like, you didn't know him like 4 hours ago. Like, what are you talking about? And then he kind of says the same to her, and she's immediately like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't even know
me. Yeah, it's a great eye-opening moment.
He knows them better. He knows her better.
Yeah.
And like, I thought the same thing with earlier. You were saying the disingenuity of having to remake the same circumstance each day where I was like,
so that scene where, so they have like one really nice day. He's like, attempted multiple times with random women, mm-hmm. and then he finally starts working on Rita, and then after like a montage of like not necessary, well, no, the first time
he goes, he kind of, we start seeing him like try to ask her out and try to take her out, and then we see him start tweaking himself.
Yeah, there's two montages. There's the one of like starting off and failing, but not like horribly failing, and then there's the montage after everything goes horribly wrong where he keeps trying to kiss her.
And then it keeps failing. And she keeps slapping. Because he's like frustrated.
But the first montage is a little bit more lighthearted, trying to like figure out what works.
Yeah, like trying to figure out like what things she likes, what things she says so he can say them first. Like that kind of thing to make it seem like, oh, we think the same. We are the same.
Right.
Like, you like me, right? And I was thinking at the point where he had to order the drink and make the toast. When he ordered the drink, he ordered her favorite drink. And then said the thing about Rome, where right. he was like, oh, it makes me think of Rome, like at dusk or something like that. And then when he said the next thing and messed it up and had to start over the next day.
Right.
And he ordered her drink and then said the Rome line again. And my brain immediately goes, how do you say that perfectly every time? So it seems just as genuine, because to her, like with interacting with people.
Yeah.
There are so many things that are just like little signifiers of people being disingenuous.
Yes.
Like, so I'm like, it would be so hard to be completely genuine having done this like 600 times yeah. already. Like, even like with the movie, just kind of brushing it off as like, oh, he's rehearsed this and now he knows how to do it. But I'm like, no, people can feel when you're going through the motions yeah. on things.
And it's like whenever you have like actors or just certain like the LA types that we run into a lot where you're like, oh, how are you doing? Like, oh man, I'm just doing great. Like I got this and this going for you. You're like, okay, cool. I get it. That this is like the thing you say, this is mm-hmm. the spiel you got going on. Oh, you're going to try to sell me on a new project.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Like, I get it. Like, these are all the things I would expect out of someone like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like you can hear when somebody's like giving you a
rehearsed.
Pitch. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. And but they do have one good date that basically almost gets all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he has to recreate it, it's such a cringy moment.
Yeah, because you can feel like his
him
like,
rushing through it.
Yeah, like I almost had it. Let's this word and these words and this is where we are.
Oh, the worst is when the kids are throwing the snowballs at him. And then he kind of responds back, but he's not having that yeah. genuine connection with her.
Yeah, originally they were building a snowman and the kids start throwing snowballs at them. And he's like, oh, haha, kids. Oh, my gosh. And is like playing back with the kids.
And she's involved.
And she's playing and it's kind of fun. And then after he kind of gets shut down and comes back and is just like rushing through it, he's like, the kids throw the snowballs. He's like, ha, ha, ha. And it's just so
aggressively
unreal, like it's so.
And he
not
tries
serious.
That because the first yeah. time she like to duck and cover, she like pulls him down, and they get so close to kissing. So then he tries to recreate that, and he like leans in, and she's like, "The hell!"
She's like, yeah, because it was just so cringy bad, and it was like the same. It was the same scene, but it was just wrong. Like, it
yeah.
was...
Well, which brings up an interesting point, even just about human behavior, is like. There, I mean, as you said, there are so many things that we just naturally pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are, as the film posits, and something I've always wondered is how much of us are just a routine. Like,
yeah,
obviously you've said it too. Like, I will repeat the same shit over and over again. If there's a dad joke to be made and that dad joke is literally only, hi, blank, I'm dad. It's the only joke I know. I will make that joke every single time.
Yep.
And it's routine and it's. You know, sometimes it's like, I don't even want to do it. It's just there. You set me up for it. If someone says, wow, that's big, I can't fit it in, I'm going to go, that's what she said. Like, it's just a pattern that's like built into me. But I always wonder, even about like, there are obviously patterns that show up from the day to day. But if it's the same day, I wonder how much of us are just stuck to our patterns to where even if someone kind of threw in a different thing, we would more or less. And that's something I found interesting as we were nearing the depression stage of his journey was, you know, when he goes down and he starts wanting to kill himself and he goes downstairs to the lady who like runs the inn and asks for the toaster. It's so interesting because it kind of works in two ways. In one, it works in like the real life, like, oh, this is how I normally treat my guests. And oh, he's kind of being weird. And like, she kind of like reacts very much, he's like, she's giving him one thing and he's just completely ignoring it and going about
yeah.
and it makes her uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of reads funny if you think about it as like an actress who's literally like, okay, these are the lines of the play. And then
uh-huh.
the other actor's just like, I'm going to do this completely other thing. And you can see their kind of strained face of like,
break.
what do you mean?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? This is what you always like. No, I'm going to do this differently.
That's funny.
But you
almost like how... like human interaction in general is a script,
which is what I was like,
yeah,
it read at first. It read to me like, oh, that's a scene that was clearly like, I don't know if they would have considered the fact that this maybe only would happen to a person who has their lines memorized. Mm-hmm. But then I wondered, I'm like, or is that a statement about human? I mean, at this point, this movie's been like dissected so many times. Anything can be posited as some like big, grand philosophical meaning. Yeah, like
this is what they meant by this 2 second interaction.
Right. However, it did make me wonder. What?
I heard something behind me. Anyways, go
ahead. It did make me wonder, like, how much of us are just kind of script based.
It's true, because it's like, I mean, what do you do when you go, oh, hey, how are you? And somebody starts divulging their entire day. You're like, that's not the script. Please stop. Like, it's like you have those certain interactions that are supposed to go a certain way. Like when you're walking up behind somebody and they open a door and they shut it in front of you. It's like, that's not the script.
Hey, excuse me, sir. Yeah, yeah.
You're ruining the simulation, you know?
It's an interesting thought to be had of how much of us, if we were to repeat the same day and be observed unaware, and then look back on it, would, like, how much of us would just be like incredibly repetitive that even if someone was to throw a complete like curveball, wrench in the cog or whatever, you know, how much of us would actually genuinely pivot and work with it and yes and our way into a different direction, or how much of us would just be like, oh nope.
Yeah.
You know, around that, I'm going to completely ignore it and go
because
about.
Because I have a certain goal that I'm doing. And I think that, I mean, that's life in general, is just either A, like maintaining your track and like regardless of curveballs, or like taking the curveballs and realizing like, oh, I guess this is where I'm going.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult. And I think that's why, first off, it's just difficult because when you don't have the promise of a tomorrow, or that, you know, if you accidentally step in front of a car, you're going to come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be very precious with every moment. And then I think that's why on a human level, this film does work so well, especially without a mechanic as to why he's in this loop. Because subconsciously, like really when you watch it, you don't need that mechanic, because it very much is just a representation for anybody who feels like they're stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. You know, why do I feel like I'm living the same day over and over again is also a way you could describe depression.
Yeah.
Or listlessness, or feeling unsatisfied in your career.
Or quarantine.
Freaking quarantine. Mm-hmm. We're still in the same goddamn day.
Yep.
Since March 13th, 2020.
Same day, different mask, bro. Like I think that all the time when it's like you kind of just don't count 2020. As like a year, like when you're like last year, when I say last year, I'm still talking about 2019.
Oh my God.
Like it's like that 2 year span to me, I kind of condense into 1 year.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, oh, it was like a year ago, I'm talking about like late 2019, beginning 2020.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but
it's difficult. And of course, yeah, you had all the people who went into the quarantine like, oh my God, I'm going to use this to like learn new tricks and get a hobby. And
it's the opposite effect of what happened to him.
Yeah.
Because he originally was like, oh no, I'm not going to, I have to resist this. I have to get out of it.
Right.
And then like ended up working into the, well, let me just be better.
Right.
But
which works too, because once we get to that stage, the
acceptance
stage of grief, I do like the fact, and it's always kind of a wholesome thing to watch a movie where there's a genuine change of heart in a character, and you can actually look at it even from a 2022 lens and go, not really problematic.
Yeah,
that was a good. The sad thing is that guy was a piece of shit, and he never would have changed had it not been.
If only there were temporal loops for every shitty person in life.
I know. It very much reminded me of like Bruce Almighty, where it's like, I'm glad the universe stops for this one person. Everybody else?
I know.
And they're like, even when I said, oh, this is the worst person ever, he's not the worst person ever.
No,
he's
not
aggressively unlikable.
Exactly. He's like one of those people you meet and you're like, oh, I don't want to interact with them again.
No.
Cool. But they're like, yeah, I'm not going to remember him in 2 weeks. Like,
right. Like, I mean, he did some morally questionable things in terms of coercing women, I guess not like coercing them, but like emotionally manipulating them, which I would,
more emotional manipulation, I guess,
I would say is coercion, wrong.
Yeah.
But even that took him how many years? It's like, this was clearly not a rapist running around. He wasn't a murderer.
But
you
what
know?
Was funny too is the, or kind of stupid, the original girl that he ended up sleeping with, he like went and got some information about her so that he could pretend that he went to high school with her and she just didn't remember him.
Right.
But she seemed very interested in him in the first place.
Right. He didn't need all that shit.
He didn't need it. So
when he was asking her those lead up questions, I was like, bro, you can get her right now.
Yeah, just talk to her. She seems to be interested.
She's reading a book in a cafe. Any woman who reads a book wants to be interrupted by a man. Yeah, but obviously, I mean, as movies have taught us.
Since he already interrupted her, you might as well just go ahead and ask her out.
Yeah, be like, hey, no, I know he says, oh, I'm going to do the whole shady thing.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I mean, that's funny, but also, like, you don't, that's not necessary.
Don't need it. But he's clearly not the worst person. But I'm so glad that the universe was like, you're
changeable. You're bad and we can change you.
You're going to learn a lesson. And I will say that's the one thing I did appreciate both about Palm Springs and especially Russian Doll. They don't give exact reasons why something mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah.
But they give theories as to why the day is looping, mm-hmm. and their theories are more or less, and this is something that you notice nowadays, where it's like we are moving away as a society
from specific reasons and more just like,
yeah, our life, like we right now, a lot of us are like, I don't know if we're the least religious like generation or
we're, I think we're the least by the book religious.
Yeah.
Like we're more like, this ethereally is what I believe. The intricacies
there you go.
Of it are like, this is what I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, we're definitely kind of a generation that's like less inclined to believe that there is an exact fate and exact purpose towards everything. So, and it kind of is reflected in a lot of the movies that we watch, where even, you know, in Palm Springs and especially Russian Doll, what is happening to them is not like, this is you needing to learn a lesson. It's almost just an abnormality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fluke of either science or nature, and I just happen to be the one that is observing it.
Yeah.
And I do like that method, because the impersonality, mm. My goodness, we're just struggling here with our words. The fact that it's not centered around someone allows them to learn kind of a different lesson
mm-hmm.
about life. And I like the idea that it's, I'm like, oh my God, do I have to edit this episode? Because I am just having a major like brain fart, and I'm
over and over again.
Over. It's like I'm reliving it.
Oh, look at that.
Welcome
back, Popstar.
No, what I was going to say is like, I like that it doesn't feel like, oh, you were specifically chosen by the universe to learn this message. It's more of a,
less like a Christmas carol.
Yes.
And more like this.
It's definitely, it's random. Yeah, it's definitely not a Christmas carol mm-hmm. where you start to ask questions like, well, why are they the only one who
but
gets to learn something?
Also, it definitely let him out of the loop when he became a good person and got the girl. So it really was some sort of ethereal lesson from the universe to make him better and get him with the person he's supposed to be with.
I mean,
essentially, if you want to break it down,
that's a wingman for you. That wingman worked
for
years.
The universe was like, yo, she's fine. I'm going to start this day over until you get her. I got you.
I got you, bro.
Yeah.
Gross.
I need the universe to come in clutch like that for me.
Yes, you can read into it being that he learned a lesson. I don't think it's about him getting the girl. I think it's very much.
Can read into it. He was in an eternal loop for 10,000 years. And the one night that he genuinely connects with the girl of his dreams.
Well, it's less about her.
Gets her.
It's
and
less
becomes
about her,
an
though.
Amazing person. He finally accumulates to being this amazing person to where he naturally draws her in without having to curate himself to attract her. He just naturally attracts her with the way that with what he's become. Then he automatically is out of the loop. To me, that says that was the point of it.
To quote Rabbi Dr. Niles Goldstein.
Who is that?
A personal friend.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
In Judaism, the work doesn't end until the world has been perfected.
Okay. So his world was perfect, so the work ended?
I like to think that, especially watching it this time, I came away from it less about him learning a lesson. I mean, I guess it is technically him learning a lesson. I mean, especially if you don't provide a reason as to why.
Yeah.
Why is he the only one that's experiencing it? So you could read it as in, like, obviously he was chosen. So then if he is chosen, then there must be a reason. However, watching it and maybe like trying to lean away from that, I was more inclined to come out of this viewing, maybe my first official one, looking at it more from the perspective of perhaps it was not about him learning a lesson and just about the fact that he was the one that could help all of these people out. And then once the work was done, it's like, which then makes me wonder, is he going to get out of February 3rd?
He just has to repeat every single day of the rest of his life until he makes each day perfect in the radius of which he can make it perfect.
Yep.
That would be
a nightmare.
A nightmare. That's
not even purgatory. That's just straight up hell.
I would be so mad. I mean, I'd take that over gnashing of teeth and fire and brimstone. But that would suck. I'd just be like, can I, like, if we're doing this, can you just give me a roadmap of what you need each day and give me like a year to do it? Like, I'll take that. I'll be like, okay, if it's like a list of like, here's the 100 things that you need to get done today.
Catch a stupid bratty kid from falling out of a tree.
Yeah, like, and give me directions too. Don't just tell me catch a kid out of a tree and I have to search the entire city every single day until I find a dead kid. Yeah, like, no, don't do that. Give me the roadmap. You know, it might take me a while to figure out my routes on how to get from one place to another, you know, if I spend a year or two of each day just planning things out and getting it together and learning a new skill, because, you know, in this year I have to fix this person's car on the side of the road. I don't know anything about engines. Well, I guess I'll spend a couple years learning about engines.
You don't even have Google in this universe.
So it's just kind of like, that would suck. But wow. That just really upset me.
Yeah.
your stupid theory. No, he learned his lesson. Look, and he's free now.
That's why this movie gives me, and the word I was looking for at the very beginning that I lost was existential. Like, the film is very existential. And this film does trigger a lot of like existential crises within me. Like I had said earlier on, like, I wouldn't ever trust. And I thought this lesson, this movie, and more in Russian Doll. But the idea that, like, at any moment it could just reset and you could be fine and the day would continue and you could just leave the people around you with the most traumatic
experience
and memory. And it's just like, that's it. And I think that's the one thing I don't feel like
is why I feel like that's why it's not necessarily a thing where it's random. It is chosen.
It's
for him
chosen.
To learn a lesson.
So it's chosen. So he can traumatize someone. It's like, I'm going to wait till this motherfucker kills himself in front of someone. And then that's it. Then he'll never wake up and that person's traumatized. No. Cause I thought about this specifically in oh, my phone's buzzing. Oh my goodness. All of this is a mess. You wanted this, pop stars.
I'm shaking my head. No, they didn't. They didn't ask for this.
I know.
I mean, they asked for the podcast, so here it is. We love you. Thanks.
definitely the existential aspect of just if I'm going to be reliving... What is... I lost my train of thought!
Again.
This is terrible!
Oh, wow.
I hate this. No,
this
hold
is
on.
Like a weird...
A time loop. Yeah, we get
but
it.
But it's not like a time loop. It's like an untime loop. It's like... Each day is not happening.
I feel like I'm biting off more than I can chew.
It's like every day you're waking up and not remembering who you are.
See, that would
this be... isn't Groundhog Day. This is 51st Dates.
Ooh, no. No, I hate that. But I would be... I think this is one thing that... And this was my train of thought. Thank goodness. It just takes a lot of shouting for me to get it back.
It's cool.
I feel like... I haven't seen a film, and if you know of one that does this well, but I haven't seen a film that really taps into that real life phenomenon of just, oh my God, that just happened and there's no way to go back. You know, just kind of like, I mean, on a small, minute level, oh my God, I can't believe I just dropped my iPhone face first and now it's cracked. Oh, undo. Oh, you can't undo. That's it. And then on a more horrible level, like anyone who's ever been in like just a random freak accident or something that maybe that if they had just done this or if they just said that, like things could have gone differently. And just watching this film gives me this like that panic of like,
but if that's the last day,
like
what if
this, but
this
is like, I wouldn't know. Like I would be stuck in eternal state of like anxiety of just like, I'll never know. Like I would almost do less. And in a weird way, I feel like that's more realistic to life because we are essentially stuck in things change every day, obviously, but in a lot of ways we set ourselves up to be going through the same thing over and over again. You know, we wake up, we watch our TV, we scroll through Facebook, you know, if you're like 70, scroll through Instagram if you're our age, or TikTok or whatever.
If you're a little younger, like me.
And, you know, you go out, you work, you come back home, you eat, you go to bed, reset, repeat.
Rizzo's life is so interesting.
You know, there's now, obviously things that obviously, happen. Yeah, but,
and then there's things that happen in between. But basically, it's the same template for the day. And then you switch out the little details here and there.
How is that any different than what Bill Murray goes through?
I mean, basically, it's just all the same. It's the same conversations, which, I mean, it's good that you get to, like, interact with people differently, because that would also be another level of a hell.
Oh, right.
Of that would be like reliving the same day, but everybody moves the exact same way and you can't change anything.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's like, even if you run out into the street and like get hit by a car, nobody stops. They all just keep walking and keep doing as if nothing changed.
That's a real simulation.
Happened. Yeah, that would be crazy. I want to see that day repeating movie. I actually don't. It would be very boring. Like, what? It would be more of like a 10-minute like
TikTok
short film.
5-second TikTok. You go, that was interesting. Swipe. As we near the end of this, I think we should at least talk about the film itself. Were there any moments that stood out to you that you liked in the movie? You're never gonna watch it again. You're just gonna stare blankly at me.
I was thinking. I mean, that was a. What's your favorite part of it?
I mean, I definitely love the interactions with Needlehead Ned.
Which one's that?
Stephen Tobolsky.
Well, his name was Ned Ryerson in this. And in Glee, his name is Sandy Ryerson.
Yeah.
A little call
what
back,
a little
call
gleek
forward.
You are.
Yeah, I really am. That
you really are. You said, I wonder if that has anything to do with it. And I was like, I bet you anything.
It probably
it really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of those. This film is like filled with like really good kind of bit actors that you've seen countless times. Obviously, there's Brian Doyle Murray, who plays, I don't know if he's like the mayor or mm-hmm. he's the one who's like initiating the entire Groundhog Day event. But he's also a brother related to Bill Murray. He's the one with that raspy voice.
Mm-hmm.
He did the voice of, was it Flapjack or Knuckles, Captain Knuckles from The Adventures of Flapjack on Cartoon Network. Did you ever watch that?
I did not. I was a Disney kid.
Ow. Well, you missed out on his sultry voice, but he shows up in so many different things. Like,
yeah,
you've heard that voice before. I don't remember the guy's name, but I recognize the first person he interacts with.
Mm-hmm.
The one who's like, oh, are you excited for the day? Like at the top of the stairs. I recognized him as the Santa Claus
from Home Alone.
And just without
like,
the beard.
How would you possibly recognize that? So something just popped up on your computer.
Uh-huh.
Groundhog Day, the musical. What on earth is that?
You know what?
Is it where the show opens?
It's been adapted.
And they sing a song, and then they sing it 10 more times, and then they go, huh, well, that was a loop. And then
wow.
They close it.
No, it was apparently a musical, so, you know, maybe one day you will watch
That's
that.
Cool. I think I would just spend a lot of time, if I was in a loop, just doing shit to see what would happen, see how people would react to certain things. I would just be messing with things and seeing how, like, life would work. If I would do different things in the day, like I would just be experimenting the whole time. Like, I don't think I would be, I honestly don't think I would necessarily, I think I would go dark for a second,
uh-huh.
not too dark. I would just get to the point where I didn't care.
Right.
The kind of thing where you're like rude to a waitress, or you just kind of like bump people on the street and you're like, move. I don't care.
Get the
you
fuck know, out of my way. Yeah.
None of y'all are going to remember this tomorrow. You know, that kind of dark where it's just like, I just don't care.
Right.
I'm not going to be personable.
Not
to people.
Murdering people.
I don't know if I would have the upswing of being good. I think I would just get into a place where I'm just kind of like, well, this is where I am. And that would be that.
But I think that's the realism of like after 10 years of that, eventually, you know,
I might do things where I'm like improving myself. Like I might, you know, try to do the day by day learning piano, you know,
yeah.
something like that. But also, I think it's interesting when he would like save the kid from falling out of the tree or help the grandmas and stuff
yeah.
like that. I wonder if maybe that would feel like a daily purpose. Like it would feel like it's the
Humans
same every
purpose.
Day, but I help this grandma
I'm the only
every
one who
single
can do
day.
It.
And I keep this kid from breaking his arm every
yeah.
single day or possibly dying, you
yeah.
know? So it's like maybe, but I feel like at a certain point I would just like, maybe you'd stop feeling the reward of it, or maybe it would get overwhelming because in reality, there's so much bad shit that happens every single day. You can't be there to keep every bad thing from happening.
But if all you have is time, what are you going to do with it?
Masturbate.
All right. I guess that's a good place to leave off on. First off, I want to apologize. This was a very haphazard. I didn't do my normal research that I normally do.
Well, you know,
I guess I didn't have to tell you that, but you could tell.
I don't think we could tell. I think it took us a minute to get into the groove of how this episode was going
to
run.
It's hard because I like to overanalyze. Yeah. I like to have like a ton of like notes and research, which is why for the next, I know we just started this podcast back up, but we do have to take a minor break.
To get out the sex eds, because obviously y'all know that we stopped that like a couple months ago and we really shouldn't have.
We shouldn't have. We're so sorry.
We're sorry, but we will get those out in place of this for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and plus so, I'm starting a 3-month job that, again, I'll be working on set full time, and it's like, it is hard. I try to put, we both try to put like 110% of everything we do, and it does physically exhaust us, like so, you know.
But I also don't like love my job, so like I'm able to kind of put it on the back burner. Not put it on the back burner, because I have to be there and I have to be present, because
those dogs aren't gonna cut their own hair.
Yeah, I'm grooming dogs, so I have to be attentive and pay attention and stuff. It's the one thing that I miss about working in like a grocery store part time, where it's like, oh, I can stay up till 3 a.m. and like drink and be hungover at work, because it like doesn't matter, because all I'm doing is stocking shelves, you know?
Hey, shelves with your life.
Yeah,
Benji.
But it's like, now it's like, oh no, I like have a very sharp pair of scissors near a dog's eye. Like I have to be very awake and like paying attention.
So no all night benders anymore?
No, I go to bed at a normal time, and it's really lame. I'm a lame person right now, pop star.
We do appreciate you listening and participating in this. I think it was a good movie. I'm glad Benji watched it. I'm glad we both watched it
for the first time all the way through.
I know so much about this film, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's one I recommend to people. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, I do feel like it just has something about it that is missing from so many films nowadays, where it's both dramatic, comedic. Obviously, you can talk about the philosophy of it for days. It's been embraced spiritually, which I find fascinating, because I doubt anybody going into that film thought, oh, wow,
this is going to be a spiritual experience.
Yeah, like, not only that, it was, and for reasons I won't get into, but it was one of the, like, it was the rift between Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, where they didn't talk to each other for, I believe, 14 years until before he passed.
Wow.
From this movie, from what I'm remembering correctly from my deep research, y'all, I believe they just didn't see eye to eye on exactly the humor of the film. And, you know, I mean, that's understandable. I imagine that Bill Murray's a very kind of like particular, specific person.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they butted heads, came to blows. Harold, which was notoriously known for being kind of like a kind, you know, level-headed person, apparently blew up at Bill Murray, which was very out of character.
Did Kumar blew up at him too? Harold and Kumar.
I get what you were saying. You know what? I got what you were saying. Okay, but great. And yeah, so it's like, I doubt any of these people left the film thinking like, yeah, this is going to be like a classic that's talked about for years to come. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are. And it, you know, it's not just nostalgia. I think it's a very solid film. It's especially from a screenwriting perspective, it's exactly everything you would want from a screenplay.
Yeah, it was good. I have no nostalgia for it, but obviously, like, I still enjoyed it. It still makes you think, and it still, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, how we had the debate with how we would treat a clone of ourselves.
Right.
Like, this is one where I think I would almost embrace it at first until it got to the point where I was like, okay, how do I get out of here? But for a minute, for like a few weeks, I'd be like, cool, like let's have some fun.
And I would resist it out first until I embrace it. Are you saying we would treat this exactly how we treated quarantine?
And exactly how we treat every situation is we address it oppositely.
Yeah, you embrace it until you're bored, and I immediately try finding a way out, because I'm like, no, this can't be. And then I'm like, I'm fine with this. This is fine.
I have one last closing question.
Okay, go. Hit me.
How long would it take for me or someone but me to convince you that they were living the same day?
I wouldn't be as resistant to it as people in movies are where they're just like willfully obtuse. So if you came at me with a bunch of this, 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 and this, and this is happening, and then this is about to happen, and this person's about to call you, I'd probably be like, all right, let's go on.
What if it's the most average day? Because that's one of the things I find funny about these movies.
Yeah, is everything's happening.
It's always one of the days where there's always this, that, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. But what if it's like a day when you're just chilling at home and you're like, ah, I went over to my friend's house, but there's not really anything specific happening so that I can point out. But I guess once you relive the same day over and over again,
oh, you'll notice.
It's the little things that it's like this person is going to walk by your window and like this dog is going to bark and like all that kind of stuff, which is you would have to live through it a lot to be able to time it out. Because I'm like,
I guess the answer to your question is, how long does it take you to memorize to, shit?
But I'm like, how long without proof? Because after the third day, I'm going to be like, I'm living the same day. Before I've memorized it, I'm going to tell somebody. So how long would it take me?
I'd like passively believe you.
I think I would passively believe somebody. Because
you've never said stupid shit like that before.
Yeah, like I think I'd be like, sure. Like as long as you're not asking me to like murder someone for your loop, like because I'm not in a loop. So I'm going to go to jail for murder if I kill somebody.
Oh, that brings up one more question.
What?
The entirety of this movie takes place from his perspective. Mm-hmm. And yet there is one shot after the final suicide death.
Two kind of.
Wait, two?
Go ahead with the one.
Well, there's the suicide. Oh, I guess when, you know.
Yeah, so there's the time he kills himself. He jumps off the clock tower.
Right, and then they.
And he dies, and then they show him dead in the morgue.
Right.
And they show them looking at him in the morgue. And I'm like, so does every storyline keep going without him, or why are they still there?
Is this a multiverse? Reset? That's what I'm terrified of.
Or when he dies, does he just stay dead, and then at 6 a.m., it just flips back and everything's reset again. There's no more storylines, but he stays dead until the end of the day and it doesn't just restart the day.
So I'm inclined to believe that that's the way the writer saw it. But there's a little part of me that's terrified that I would just be creating a ton of
multiple
universes
timelines
where I'm a horrible human being.
That's
and I'm
true.
A shitty person.
That's true. That is one way to look at it.
Again, another reason for me to be completely paralyzed and not want to do weird shit. I'd just sit in my room and be like, it's okay. It's okay. One of these days you'll get out of this loop. You'll get out of this loop.
Not like that. Not like that. You won't. The other one would be when he drove off the cliff and the car exploded.
Oh, that's true.
And it was like, and they were like sitting there watching the car burn. And I was like, shouldn't it restart already? He's very dead right now. Like, so.
He's very dead. Y'all, if you like this, then like it, comment, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications.
Let us know what you would do in a temporal loop and who would be the first person that you tried to convince you're in a loop.
Oh, that's a good. Who? I mean, you would probably be my first person to tell.
And I would believe you.
Okay,
would you believe me?
No.
Jerk.
Not immediately.
Well, it's our personality types. Also, our other best friend, me and him have a code word that. We both agreed. Why would I tell you that?
What's the code word?
The whole point of the code word is that it's a safe code word between the two of us that if one of us says it, we know we're in a loop and we don't have to do the stupid, hey, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. We go, hey, this is the word. Help me. And then we're gone. We do it.
Is the word pineapple?
It is definitely not. Anyways.
What's Christian's word to Anastasia? Is it pineapple?
What? No, I said it's not.
No, but is Anastasia's word pineapple in 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, I don't remember.
What's your safe word, Benji?
Daddy?
Is it daddy?
Anyways.
If our friend comes in here and says, daddy, I'm in a loop, will you say,
daddy, you're about to be out of a loop.
Ah, gross.
Anyways, that was fun. I can see your brain still trying to figure out what this word is, and you're not going to figure it out.
I'll never figure it out.
Anyways.
Anyways, you want to say that again?
That was terrifying. I'm sorry, y'all probably didn't hear that, but some crazy shit just went down behind us outside of the window.
Anyways,
we're gonna stop this.
That was Groundhog Day.
Anyways,
anyways, that was Groundhog Day. I'm Rizzo.
Anyways, that was Groundhog Day. I'm Benji. And we're
sweet,
done here.
Sweet dreams, pop stars.
Keep watching.